Hello, everybody.
Hi, and we're back. It's another week. It's great. That's a great intro for me.
Lauren, do we need to do a wellness check? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm totally fine.
Am I not convinced?
Do I not sound totally fine? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. That was just a weird, I got a weird vibe with that intro just now.
Yeah, I kind of panicked. I'm not going to lie. I don't really know why. I do feel like there is a lot of pressure to be really good at this podcast today because we actually have a professional conversationalist on our podcast today.
I feel like you got to tuck your shoulders back while you're talking. Okay. Okay, to a conversationalist down. Because your posture is important during a conversation. And what's really weird is we can't see him. So I feel like he's secretly taking notes over there. So I'm like, I need to tuck her up.
Well, he's also tuck her up. I don't really know if that's a thing. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. Tuckered up. You got to get tuckered up. So this is our first guest that we actually can't see. So it's going to throw me a little bit too. So you know what? Without further ado, I guess let's just bring him out. So we have Darius Brown today on the podcast, and he has written a book. It's called You Got the Digits, Now What? And it's 104 Early Dating Questions. Basically just a book about creating like memorable conversations. So I'll let him kind of get into that a little bit more. But without further ado, Darius, you now have permission to enter.
Nice.
We never do that together. I don't know why. I just decided I was going to join in on that.
That's okay. Welcome.
Welcome.
It feels good to be here. I find a speech for the Grammys. It feels good to be here. I just want to thank
God, your mom.
Who do you want to thank? This is important. This next line is going to tell us everything we need to know about Darius. Mm-hmm. Who are you gonna thank right now?
Firstly, I'm going to thank God, of course, for giving me the ability, the humility, and giving me the resilience to make it through.
Hey, there you go. That's perfect.
Mic drop. We're done.
Yeah. All right. Well, podcast is over. I feel like that's a great question to ask people, actually. I don't know. Maybe you're the conversationalist, Darius. But
what? Wow.
Like, what would be your Grammy speech?
Wow. That is a good question.
Make sure you at me in book number two.
At you. Wow. So imagine asking someone on a date. Like, hey, so imagine you just won a Grammy for whatever it is. Who would you thank in your speech?
I think that's an
important. If the first thing they say is, my girlfriend.
You know what?
Then you just go.
See, it tells you, that first line tells you everything you need to know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you for having us today here, spending some time with us on the pod. I mean, you're here with us, I guess, but so this is also maybe the earliest we've ever done a podcast, ever one
I
time.
We're both genuinely thrown off by the fact that we can't see him.
Yeah.
And we're like, are we here with someone? Are we not? So like, yeah, you guys, bear with us.
Okay. It's giving
I
me
love that he's challenging PTSD. Us in this way.
It's giving me love as blind PTSD.
I'm going to strive to help you guys see me.
We got to see you like... I mean,
paint us a picture. Yeah. Like, give us some background.
All right.
So, where are you sitting? What are you wearing?
Right. So currently at the moment, I'm wearing some Nike sweats.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Gray or black?
Right. Some black Nike sweats, right?
Okay.
And I have on a fitted, but one of those kind of loose shirts, but it shows your form a bit. Yeah. It's a gray type shirt on here. And I am sitting on my nephew's floor in his room, and he had like a convertible type car bed.
I love the details. Yeah, it's a podcast. We've never had anyone explain what they look like or where they are. You just got to go find them for yourself. So
that's it. He has dinosaurs on top of his dresser. He has a actual Ninja Turtles arcade game in his room. That you can plug up and play like you're in an arcade.
I want this to be my room right now.
Good vibes. Good vibes.
He has a Black Panther, a big Black Panther poster on his wall.
I love that.
Oh, I love that.
Well, so let's get into kind of, you know, why you're here. I guess we could probably start that at this point, but, really want to talk about, so first of all, what is exactly that you do? Like, what is a conversationalist? Like, why is the reason that you wanted to get into being a conversation coach?
So you asked a phenomenal question. I'm going to strive to turn on my video, by the way.
Oh my gosh. What a treat.
Wait.
I honestly didn't think it was going to be.
We just peer pressured him into getting it on.
Hey, well, I'm striving to meet you in a minute.
Oh my God. There he is.
Y'all, we're going to have to post part of this video so that everybody can see. Uh-oh. Like, everybody's going to want to know now. They're going to be biting at their fingernails, like on their edge of their seat. We want to know.
That might be good, actually.
Yeah, so we built this up. Maybe you guys, maybe we did this on purpose. I don't know. Maybe it's all clickbait. Who knows?
I'm here for it.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we love seeing your face. Thank you.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
See, look, we're both smiling so much bigger now. We're like,
oh. There he is.
Cheery little face.
We're trying to hide the toys.
I don't see any Ninja Turtles, so I don't know. You can turn it back off.
I'm trying to hide this. Oh, trust me. Computer,
I'm disappointed.
The computer is on the Corvette bed. And I'm sitting on the floor.
That's cool. I want a Corvette bed.
You need to be showing the ladies the Corvette when you turn on the video.
He hasn't made up his bed, so I don't want to make that impression of my nephew.
Oh, well, yeah. You don't want to put him out like that. I gotcha. Okay, so...
Anyway, back to business here.
The cornerstone story of Darius. Let's hear all about it.
Yes. Why become a conversation coach? What is it that you do?
You know, it's by trade, I'm a corporate trainer, right?
Okay. So
I do corporate training. And when doing corporate training, you train a lot on soft skills. Obviously, you're helping your people learn how to speak to people in order to connect and hopefully make a sale. Mm-hmm. Not in a manipulative way, but in a way that genuinely connects with people. Mm-hmm. People buy people. People don't buy things.
Right.
So my experience in doing corporate sales, that was the trajectory I was going on. So let me take it back to 2012. Mm-hmm. I was a reentry counselor for the Department of Juvenile Justice. For some of you that don't know, that means I help teens go from teen detention centers back into society the right way.
Wow.
So
super important.
Very, very important.
We could easily, very quickly get on a whole soapbox of like the system is very broken and not, you know, helping anybody who has been incarcerated get back into society. It is messed up, but that is a whole nother conversation.
It's a whole different conversation.
For a whole nother time, but I definitely have lots of opinions about all of that. And I think it's at the end of the day, like very why our system is broken. But I think it's super cool that that's kind of how you got started. I'll let you take it back now.
For sure. No, and what you said is so valid because it goes into my story. So I'm going to touch on that for a second. So I'm working for this nonprofit that's contracted by the Department of Juvenile Justice to deliver these services of reentry counseling, helping them go back into society the right way to lower recidivism rates. And the number one proven thing through stats is soft skills. That's the number one thing that keeps them from going back to prison is when they learn certain soft skills. And so that's not what was happening. But long story short, in during my trainings to become a counselor, you have to go off to a remote little small city, mm-hmm. and you have to be trained on these different things of active listening 101, effective questions 101, and also motivational interviewing 101. Now, you had to get certified in each of these areas. If you didn't pass the test, if you didn't do the homework, if you didn't perform it well in class, whatever it may be, you mm-hmm. wasn't getting the certification, you wasn't becoming a counselor. Mm-hmm. That challenged how I communicated. I thought that I was a great conversationalist before that. I thought I was a good listener before this. I was exposed. I didn't know how mm-hmm. bad of I was until I learned the habits of active listening.
I all of a sudden feel very naked. I'm like, oh my God, he knows so many things. Are we doing the right thing right now?
So smart. He's going to call that.
And it's so true. And it's so one of our homework assignments were to go and speak to someone to practice what we had learned mm-hmm. in class. And we had to come back and give the tangible stories. We had to have points in the stories for them to check off the homework we did. Because they can tell if we did the homework by the point we deliver it with the homework.
This is very comprehensive. Wow.
Very. And so, because we're going to be dealing with these teens coming from detention centers, we have to be trained properly to engage.
100%.
And so I did I went back to my hotel and I was trying to figure out who I was going to talk to once I was going back into my hotel. And then there was this gorgeous young lady that was working at the front desk in the hotel, Rebecca De La Rosa. That was her name.
Oh, Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
So she was at the front desk, gorgeous, with the natural hair going. She was like Hispanic and African-American mix, I believe. And so I just sparked up a conversation with her, like I'm about to bag her. It was just genuinely a conversation. We talked for 2 hours at the front desk.
Wow.
And I was able to find out so much about her, just positioning myself to listen by asking great open-ended effective questions, by practicing active listening habits, because it's a discipline to listen. It really is. And being able to just understand her viewpoint and her world. She even cried at one point from sharing her story.
Oh, dang. I'm
thinking to myself, this beautiful, gorgeous young woman that any man would talk to is sitting here shedding some tears from me just listening. She wasn't a broken woman. She had a strong front. But the fact that I was able to just listen to her, ask her certain open-ended questions, have genuine, inquisitive nature, it was mind-blowing to see how you can turn your conversation around by practicing conversational skills that serve people.
That's power.
And that's when I knew that this was an area I need to really focus on. Mm-hmm. And so from that came eventually me becoming their life coach, and then eventually having a corporate training career in different businesses. So I had a life coaching client I was working with. She was tearing it up with her goals. Phenomenal. Her mindset was right. She was in therapy. She was doing her thing professionally and even family-wise. But she said, I'm going on a date tomorrow. Do you have any tips for me on how to talk to a man? Because this is the area I struggle with. I said, well, what do you mean by that? Tell me more. She said, when I go on dates, I feel like I'm more quiet and I ask a lot of questions, but I don't know if they're the right questions. I said, what do you tell me what kind of questions you ask? And she said, I ask the basic questions like, what do you do? Where are you from? And what are you doing? What goals do you have for the next 5 years? And what are you doing to accomplish these goals in the next 5 years? Now, mind you, she's an accountant. So a lot of high achieving women I've noticed have a hard time engaging on a personal level, because you take your conversation skills from the corporate world and business world and apply them to the personal world when it's not the same thing.
Right.
It's a whole different skill set that you need. So I listened to those questions. I said, ooh, no, that's not the questions you want to ask. I said, there are do-based questions and then there are be-based questions.
Okay.
Do-based questions is when you're figuring out what someone does and what they do versus who they are and how they became who they are. It's almost a reference to the old DMX song, Who They Be. They don't know who we be, right?
Right.
And so you want to figure out who they be.
I can't wait to just to hear how this is about to wrap up. Like the questions you're supposed to be asking, because it's kind of funny, like the questions when I'm talking to new people, I would never even think to ask like what they do. And then after it's all said and done, I'm like, I have no idea what those people even do, but I feel like I know them. And then I feel like one of the first questions I usually get just when I meet new people is, what do you do? And I find it so interesting that I forget to ask that type of question, but it's always like one of the first questions that you are asked. So I'm curious some of the questions you're supposed to be asking. I can't wait to hear what you're supposed to be asking.
I love your synopsis of that, because that question, what do you do, turns me off, period. So how you are like, I'm not going to ask what they do, but I want to know who they are. So I love that approach. But you still want to know what they do. We're going to talk about that.
Mean, I really, at the end of the day, I don't necessarily care, because I feel like anybody I've met and I've kind of connected with, at some point I've usually gotten their opinions on like social justice and human rights. And like, I feel like I'm an introvert, so small talk doesn't do it for me. I want to know, like, if we're going to connect on a heart to heart level, like, tell me what you believe in. I don't know. Like, let's talk about spirituality. And I feel like it always leads somewhere along those lines. So I either think, like, I know this person is going to be my best friend after the end of it, or we're probably not suited. And then at that point, it's like, it doesn't really matter what you do. Eventually I'll find out. So it is very, it's interesting how, if you don't ask those questions, you end up finding everything you need to know.
Right. Well, yeah. And with, if you're going on a date, you've probably, I mean, I usually will, you know, internet stalk the person anyway. So I probably already know what they do. And I feel like most of the time what someone does for a living is usually the least interesting thing about them. At least for me, I feel like it's not, I mean, what I do for work isn't necessarily who I am. So it doesn't really tell you a whole lot.
Yeah. I think now more days it is turning into like what people do with their time to make money is more of a, is becoming more connected to who they are as a people. Like the word work, I feel like is slowly on its way out because people are like, I can do things that I love that aren't necessarily just for money. Right. I think that's cool. That's like life coaching, conversationalist. Like these are things that are important to you. And then you get an energy exchange for the things that are important to you while in turn helping people. So I think that's really cool.
I love how you just wrapped that up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You have a question.
I do. So Darius, I am curious why, because you said that question, what do you do, turns you off. And as soon as you said that, I was like, yeah, me too. But I've never voiced that. Like, is there something behind that kind of, not that I don't mind explaining to people what I do. I just feel like, oh, like really? Is that all I am? I don't know. It just feels, I always feel like
it's like
turned off by it.
It's a qualifying question.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And when someone is striving to qualify me without figuring out my quality first, then that's where I have a problem. Because you're striving to qualify me and determine my quality based upon what you qualified me for.
Mm.
And so that's where it's a problem. And I want to know your intention with talking to me versus your intention with what I do. And so, yeah, it's a terrible thing. So instead of asking someone, what do you do? Now I'm going to get back to telling you guys how I pivoted into being a conversation coach. And instead of asking someone, what do? You may want to ask them, of course, people are working and doing their thing during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, I know you are a busy person and I appreciate this time with you. What are two things you love about the work you do? Mm. So now I'm not asking what you do. I'm asking what are two things you love about the work you do? Now this can be not just their job. This can be their business, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always want to pull out the emotional value of a question versus the fact of a question, right? Instead of asking, what's your favorite season? You're finding out a fact instead of asking what season of the year makes you feel the best.
Mm. Just a couple different words. It's a different question.
It's a different question, but you
a whole different answer.
Feeling. You want to get the feeling.
Yeah.
People want to answer from a feeling standpoint more than a fact standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You've been logical all day. They need a break. Help me tap into who I am.
Right. That's true. You know, would
have been great. I hate being laundry listed. Like, I don't know. Can I tell you like how I feel about things? Like, I don't know. It's not that I'm like I don't need to talk about my feelings all the time. It's just
no one ever asks. Like,
no one ever asks.
Nobody asks me how I feel.
Right. Then we ask, how are you doing that? How are you feeling? Now somebody can genuinely say good to that too. But if you ask them, what's your top two moods today? You can't say good to that.
Good and fine.
My fiance is going to listen to this and he's going to be like, wait, you've been doing this for a long time. Did you have a conversationalist before? Cause it almost gets to the point where I feel like it could be annoying because he is an extrovert. So like, I think extroverts just in general enjoy small talk a little bit more. Like for them, they enjoy the act of talking where like, I want to get to the meat of it and be done with like
the small talk
part of it. Yeah. So he's like hey, what's up? Let's talk about your day. I'm like, can you give me on a scale of 10, like how you're mentally feeling? Like, I want numbers. What was your high? What was your low? Like, what are you feeling? He's like, I don't know. I had a long day. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah. But I think in his job too, he's kind of opposite. Cause I don't know if you have heard of, you know, the Burt Show. That's her now fiance. Still weird to say. And he has a radio talk, like a morning talk show. So he's all day, all his job is talking about how he feels.
Right.
So he might like
tap it out. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta
he might like those straightforward small talk kind of thing. Yeah.
I at least wait. I wait a full 8 hours before asking anyone.
8 hours? That's a lot. But
yeah. Cause he gets done at 11 AM.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So then he takes a nap because he starts at 5. So he's early. I give him lots of space.
You can give him that. You definitely, I'm not sure if he's a physical touch guy. Most guys are. But when you are a physical touch guy, sometimes we recharge just by being rubbed, just by being like rubbing our heads, rubbing our shoulders, rubbing our back. Not in the way of just, hey, babe, hope all is well. Mm-hmm. Just tend to us that way. And that's a recharge. Mm-hmm. Then we can recharge to have conversation again.
Especially scratch his head and then hit him with all the questions that you need.
It's interesting. I think I'm more of the physical touch out of the two of us. I mean, we're both high up there. I think we have similar. We do really good. I was kind of joking.
We do really good.
I was kind of joking about him saying good, fine. Cause I stretch it out. I want to know all the details about how you're feeling. Okay. I'm not making this. Don't say. Back to Darius. Back to your story.
I love it. So, with me, again, I was working with this client and she was asking me about these questions. And so she said, in our next session, can we actually talk about conversational things of how I can talk to a man better? So yeah, let's do it. Let's cover it. Now, I love this stuff, obviously, because I love soft skills training, you know? So I just developed the training and development company myself this year based upon training people on soft skills, not knowing I was going to pivot to a conversation coach. Mm-hmm. While still training on soft skills. And so I came up with a formula and a strategy for her to connect and keep the conversation going in a non-invasive and not a boring way, but in a memorable and irresistible and engaging way. And so I made the strategy, basically it's a circular thing, starts here and it can continue to go this way. And I said, this is kind of good, actually.
Write a book.
Something.
Well, I ran it by someone I knew and their dating coach, and I told them about my approach. And they said, Darius, this is gold. This conversational framework is pretty gold. You need to do something with this. I said, you know what? I will. And so I started to frame it out and work it out better and add to it. And eventually it became a whole system. I taught my client the information and she said, I wish someone would have told me this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, so I could have better conversations with people or just men in general. Mm-hmm. It changed the game for her. She's communicating with so much confidence with men. She has like men wrapped around her finger. Not in a manipulative way, but when you learn conversation tools and principles, you move with a whole different level of confidence.
Right.
You know, and that's what happened to her. So I eventually started to coach some people behind the scenes, get some proof of concept, some use cases, and I had one woman who was striving to date an actor. And she's in the acting world herself, and she was striving to go from the DMs to the actual phone number. Mm-hmm. And so I was auditing her DMs and seeing how she was speaking to the man and giving her certain suggestions with the approaches that I teach. She was able to get that number and have conversations.
Hey. So, and now she's married to Brad Pitt. Look at her.
Oh. Her name was, you might have heard of her. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not saying any names. But yeah, so that's what it was. So eventually I started to really teach people these principles via Clubhouse rooms and building my course.
Oh, that's cool. So did this one framework work across the board? Like the same framework works every single time for any given situation, or are there specific scenarios that you want to tweak it if you're like in a corporate room or if you're dating or if you want to meet a new friend, or are they just kind of, they're across the board? If you learn this framework, then it works every time.
You asked a really good question. The framework is the same across the board.
Ooh.
Across the board. And so if you can apply it to the dating world, it's communication, it's conversation, it's connecting, keeping it going. Same thing. And so in this instance, I wanted to help high achieving women who are ready to date again. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the book of questions came about when I was doing my course. So there's a certain part of my course that requires practice with certain questions. So I was thinking about different people I knew that may have question books or things of that nature. I'm like, well, maybe I can use their book of questions in my homework area. And someone told me, they were like, you need to write your own book of questions because you're mm-hmm. really good at helping people reframe their questions to get better responses and have a great connection.
So intrigued by the way that you're explaining this. You're doing a really good job of like, I know you're not giving away too much information because at the end of the day, this is your bread and butter. Like you don't want to give away everything because then this is the energy exchange. Like you have to buy the book in order to get all the goods, but you are doing a really good job. I'm so intrigued. I'm like, what do you mean you reframed this question? I'm so curious. Like I want to go get this book now.
Right. No, so true. Right.
So can you give us, without giving away too much, mm-hmm. are there any specific questions outside of those first couple of ones that you gave us that, you know, took it from a qualifying question to a quality question? Mm-hmm. Are there any other ones that, you know, like even in a conversation like this where we're talking to you, you know, clearly Lauren and I both talk a lot on interviews for a living. We are not by any means professional conversationalists. Mm-hmm. So like,
spoiler, we're not professional. Spoiler,
we didn't go to school. Actually, I did go to school.
I have a, have a conversation.
You know what's funny is I do have a degree in communication.
And I do have a degree in theater. So we did actually.
Technically,
we actually learned how to speak. Our degrees are speaking. But
yeah, they don't teach you that. Even though you're getting a degree in communication, they're not necessarily teaching you a framework, which I feel like is more applicable than anything. Mm-hmm. Darius, we need to push to get these in universities, this framework in university. That's my new goal for 2021.
It's coming up next. Seriously. I actually got contacted by a nonprofit in DC and I'm having to go and teach their teams conversation coaching basically on this framework to have conversations growing up. If I had this framework of conversation to have with people, knowing how to sit in my power, and knowing mm-hmm. I can use certain skills to help me maneuver through life mm-hmm. and connect with people regardless of where I'm from, right? It gives conversations literally can take you from one place to the next place, regardless 100%. Of where you're from, right? Mm-hmm. There was, for example, there was a mentor of mine I had, Dan Overby. I got to give him some credit. I was walking on the beach in 2012. This is Las Olas Beach in Fort Lauderdale. I'm walking on the beach with a young lady at this time. And he was,
was it a long walk?
It was a longer walk, right? But it was by the beach. Not on the beach. It was me was walking by the beach this time. And so we're on the street part, and there's this maybe 5'10, 5'9, bald head Caucasian guy with his shirt off, probably about 60 something, walking and running his dog. His dog happens to hop on my leg as we're waiting
for the fight.
And I said, oh, it's cool. I have a small dog at home. And I asked him, hey, what kind of dog is this? And he said, it's a blah, blah, blah. He said, we're just going for a little run around the block, you know, while he's walking his dog. So context clues for me. I'm a young man striving to figure out life and see how I can maneuver through life. So if he's running around the corner and just right off, literally right off the beach, okay. So I literally asked him a question. I said, what are three things? I said, do you mind if I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, what are three things I need to do in order to be living off the beach by your age?
Mm. I love this.
Good open-ended question.
And he said, and he gave me some great feedback and we talked. And then he started to ask me questions about certain answers I was giving him. And it sparked this mentorship type of dynamic that turned into a pivotal moment for my life, those next years in my life. And so It's really about engaging with people the right way. And I'm sure if those kids in DC get this information, they can engage with people at a much different level. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. I have a question here too, kind of pivoting a little bit here, but do you think that with the internet, do you think that's helped communication or has hurt communication? Because like on one hand, we have the ability to communicate even more than we ever have and talk to more people than people across the world that maybe we never would have spoken to ever. But then on the other side, you know, we're kind of losing a lot of face-to-face conversations too. So especially this past year in the pandemic, everyone's working at home, everyone's locked in. So what are your thoughts there with the internet kind of like, you know, online dating even, like, how do you think it's helped or hurt, if maybe both?
I like this question a lot. And here's my answer.
Oh, Darius, I'm on to one thing. I have noticed that you give a compliment based off of like our interactions, which gives the other person confidence.
It's validating
about things. It is. I'm on to this framework.
I feel like it's less confident. So you got to validate what they say, feelings, what they say.
I'm like, I love this guy. He loves everything we say. And I was like, wait.
Yeah, we're asking great questions.
We're asking like really good questions.
It's true, right? There's a response rule, and I'll give you guys a bit of the course, but put it this way. There are three ways you respond to people if they ask a question. But in those three ways that you respond, you always validate first.
Yes.
Even if you don't agree with what is, you can agree with the feeling that was behind the what. So even with conflict resolution, you say with your fiance, right? If he has said something that you don't fully agree with, there's an emotion behind what he said that you can't agree with because you've had that emotion before.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to say, babe, I understand that you may feel this way right here, and I can totally understand that. But this viewpoint you may have shared, can you give me more clarity on this? You may ask more questions on that instead of, I don't like that. Because then you're attacking the person's feelings as what they said.
Mm-hmm.
So even when someone asks a question, if it's actually really good, whatever it may be, let's acknowledge them for that. Like, you didn't have to ask this question. So I want to give you your flowers of validation first before I give my answer. I want you to know what you said was important first. Now here's
my answer.
Second. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I was not trying to give away too much of the framework, but I caught on because I was like, I feel really affirmed through this conversation, which is making me like, I like it. And I was like, yeah, wait, I'm onto it. Okay. So back to Lauren's question.
Anyway, though, internet.
Is this me active listening? Am I doing a good job?
This is phenomenal.
Do I get 5 stars?
It depends. It can be trauma listening or active listening. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. You said trauma, like T-R-A-U-M-A. Is that how you spell trauma?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, like I had PTSD from a conversation where I wasn't paying attention. Now I'm making sure to pay attention to one thing.
Or have been manipulated by someone who seemed to validate things. And now someone can be listening from a trauma to what someone is saying. And they can not be that person at all, but somebody else said something like this or they did something like this and I don't know. So trauma,
like all of a sudden acutely aware.
Right. So the red flags instead of the green flags. Active listening is just comprehending this person as a whole without striving to look for red flags in advance to protect yourself. What I would say, you are active listening instead of trauma listening.
Oh, thank you.
For sure.
I personally think you were trauma listening, Tiffany, because she's a Virgo, always wants the gold star, always wants to be great at everything. And she's like trying to figure out the hacks before you say them.
Okay.
Boom.
I mean, you don't have to necessarily say I'm trauma listening. I am a student and a teacher. I love to learn and I love to teach. So like, I'm just like picking up on the cues that are being dropped.
And she loves a gold star.
She loves
an A++.
I do. I love to figure things out. But not in a, I think something is wrong type of way. It's like,
because she likes to be knowledgeable. But hey, that's nothting wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Who doesn't want to like be knowledgeable? Knowledgeable.
You can see the emotion of a statement while striving to figure out what's coming down the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something we got to be careful of. Just take us about the whole instead of like, I see where they're going. Now we jump to that thought of what we think they're going and we're stuck with that thought instead of what they're saying.
And then you could assume the totally wrong thing and then you miss the whole mark.
Instead of just, like, so it's a technique of active listening where you have to go with the flow, which means thoughts are going to come in your mind. And you can't just latch onto them. You have to literally let them go so you can stay in the moment of what they're saying and the feeling they're giving across.
Just got to surrender to those thoughts.
Yeah. It's like meditation, right?
Yeah.
You just can't latch on to those thoughts in meditation. Just, you see it. All right, I'm going to let you go.
I'm a quiet observer.
Right.
Yeah, you just got to be more like me, Tiffany. I mean, I'm just over here actively listening. She's giving me a death stare.
No, I am not. Lauren.
She's smiling, but she's not.
No, I am. I think Lauren, I think you're a really good active listener. We have a joke on the show about Lauren, like she panics when she has a thought in her mind and she's going to forget it, which I think, like you were saying before, it takes a lot of discipline to remember your thought. So like Lauren grew up in a family where they're always like, everybody's fighting over the time. So when Lauren and I talk about things, which in the beginning was a lot more, we're navigating it much. The chemistry flows a lot differently than the beginning because like we both had a thought, we were fighting for the time because we didn't want to forget what we were talking about. So I don't think either one of us really were active listening, but we've learned through the process of having a podcast how to be better active listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just write down.
So Lauren is the best at active listening.
She's the best. Yes,
so I am the example here. You're welcome, everybody.
What you just said was so, man, that was so powerful, Tiff, about how Lauren grew up and now I come from a family. Do you mind if I relate to you on this?
Sure.
Yeah.
I come from a family of, I'm actually at my brother's house, right? He's one of my brothers. I have 7 brothers and 1 sister. Right. So I grew up right.
That's a big family.
Whoa.
So of course, I grew up predominantly with 4 of my brothers in the house. Then my other 2 brothers, 3 brothers were more so in New Jersey when we moved to Miami. But it's a lot of testosterone, a lot of big personalities, people vying for saying something. And so you can kind of feel like your voice can get lost if you don't speak up and say anything. I have something to say, so I got to say it now instead of. I guess when we're young, we think having the right thing to say is most important. Mm-hmm. Instead of having the right way to listen, which is the real power. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how you said true. That. But I also will say I don't often, it was harder for me. I think it was harder for me to realize that like not everyone can be interrupted. Like I feel like with the way my family speaks, like I can jump in with a question and then we get right back to it. And we just like keep on going. It never stops. But like, I know with Tiffany, if I like, you know, stop for a second or make a comment or not just with Tiffany, just like with people we've interviewed in general, but I'm talking about Tiffany specifically here. But sometimes like she'll like completely like shut down and her brain just like, I can't get back to what I was saying. I completely forgot what I was just about to say. And I was like, shit, I'm so sorry. So I kind of had to realize like, oh yeah, not everyone can do that. Not everyone talks in fucking circles like my family does.
So, you're gonna come right back around to it eventually. Yeah.
We will eventually get there. It might be an hour later, but we'll get there. It might be the next day, but we'll bring it back up.
We'll take 20 paths to get there. No, it's funny because usually like I'll be in the middle of a story and I'm like about to get to the good part. And Lauren, you know, she's like, okay. And I'm like giving her this. I'm like,
yeah, I'm like, oh shit, sorry. She's like giving me hand signals. I'm like, okay.
I'm like, the punchline is coming. Let me wrap it up.
Right. Some questions,
but it's funny now we would like get the signals. Lauren doesn't give me signals because she's like kind, but I'm like strongly aggressive about it. I'm like
demonstrative. Hold on.
Well, because I also feel like I don't talk with an end in mind. I feel like a lot of the time I think I just talk with like just something comes out of my mouth a lot of the time. And that is a good thing. It's also a very bad thing sometimes. And Tiffany's a lot more strategic of what she's saying and how she wants to come across and, you know, what she wants to like the point she's trying to make and stuff. And so when I like interject with a question or a comment or whatever, I do think that she's easily thrown because she's like, that wasn't my plan. That's not what the plan was. I need to stop
the delivery.
Yeah. Well,
The clarity you guys are both providing about each other is so dope.
I know. I'm like, okay,
we're aware.
We just accidentally had a therapy session.
Moment. Yeah.
Well, hey, we know
it's not uncommon to have this when we have someone on who's like in a specialty area,
coaching area, especially.
Yeah, this usually happens.
I love it though. I love like the self awareness that's on 1,000, and then like actually dealing with it and doing the work because you just, Lauren, you just affirmed the fact that I speak sometimes without an end in mind, going back to the family roots.
All the time.
you're gonna go in circles, it's going to come back. Uh-huh. And Tiff is like, I have something to say. And I have
a beginning, middle, and an end.
Right. I have what I'm about to say, so don't interrupt it, please, because I may lose it.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is it makes so much sense just how growing up, like I spent a lot of time alone doing my own thing. Like I grew up poverty stricken, like, but I knew I wanted to be different. So I just spent a lot of time by myself doing things. So when I did talk to anyone or anything, it was normally because I had something to say, not because I just like wanted to talk for the point of it. But now I'm realizing that, Lauren, like you grew up around a lot of people. You guys are talking because that's how you connect. But like me, I'm like, I'm talking because I have something to say, not just because I want to have
the fiance chat. Though.
Yeah.
There was a Lauren over there.
So I don't, this is another totally random subject. I don't know if you know anything about human design, but it's basically this archetype system where you can put in, similar to astrology, you put in your time of birth, your date of birth, and where you were born. And it gives you basically a constitution of who you are based off of that thing, off of like five different archetype systems, like this.
How you work in the world, I guess.
So Lauren and all of the other people close in my life all are the same type, and they all have a very similar personality. So it's funny that I've surrounded myself with people like Lauren, like my fiance, all kind of the same, which may be that, you know, like I have actively pursued people who are more connected and more social because like I want to be that. So I have, I strive to be better, more social, more, I think it makes me feel good to be around those people because it makes me feel like I'm getting off of the path that I was put on initially, right. And I can be different and I can break the cycle. Like even for my own daughter, I have a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. It's like, now it's cool because she acts a lot like Lauren and my fiance, like they all carry the same thing. I'm like, I'm the black sheep.
No, listen, she acts like you, Tiffany. Don't get it twisted. I've played Candyland with her. She flipped the board. So,
Editive.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she is competitive, but that is different than, you know, like being socially cool about stuff. Okay. Well, again, we have made this all about us, Lauren.
Here is the original question I asked that sparked all of this. Yes. We're coming back full circle here.
Good job, Lauren. Bring it back.
You know, do you feel like the internet has helped or hurt like our ability to communicate, basically?
Now we're talking about social media. I feel social media.
Yeah, social media.
I do feel like it hurt our ability to communicate because it's cheapened our communication.
Okay.
The reward of our communication is being given without proper work and understanding, right? So I think the world is craving proper communication and conversation now. Mm-hmm. Now, those who can have proper conversation are the ones that are being able to really navigate social media and make the best of it. Mm-hmm. Right? But people are still going to get rewards from broken conversation. Just what you're doing, where you at, how you doing? Oh yeah, let's talk sometime. Let's go out. It's the basic.
It's lazy.
The lazy conversation. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you there, and that's probably my number one reason why I don't like dating apps. And I'm really not much of a texter either, especially this past year because I haven't been around. I haven't there, you know, for most of the year I was not really around a lot of people. So. Right. And I go through, I've like very much an introvert, extrovert. Like I get energy from people, then they also can drain me a lot. And I get energy from my own just being by myself too, to like kind of recharge from that. But it's been a weird year for everybody. But the thing I've noticed the most this past year is like, I pretty much only want to FaceTime people. I don't even like talking on the phone at this point anymore. Like I just need to like see someone's face to just like be able to talk to them like that. And that might be why, like when you originally came on, didn't have your camera on. I don't even think I even thought much about it until we started recording. And I was like, oh, this is
like panicked.
Yeah. Like, oh God, I can't see his face. Like I can't see his like reactions or like, you know, sometimes you see people like, they like take a breath that they want to speak, but then they don't. And you're like, okay, wait, actually, what were you going to say? And you know, there's like little things that you miss. And I feel like people are good texters or they're bad texters. And I don't really, I think for me, it's a hit or miss. If the other person's a good texter, then I can maybe be a good one too. But it just takes so much more energy to text than you get. Like, No, I say like five things and it takes like 4 hours. And
I'm my goodness.
I can't do this. I'm what I'm saying. So dating apps are so weird like that. Like, especially like the opening lines on a dating app. Like, I don't know what the hell to say on a dating app. Like, I know you're not a dating coach, but just like, I mean, what's your advice? Like when you're talking about this person that you help with dating, like was she on the apps or was this like you were helping her when she was on the actual date in person?
She was on both. She was doing both.
Okay.
And so she would send me text messages of what the conversations would look like. Mm-hmm. Now she was doing her thing and going about it the way I taught her to connect and coached her to connect. She was doing her thing. Guys just talking their little hearts out. But they were.
Oh, you're so proud. I love this.
I am. And but they, the guys wasn't holding up their end of the bargain.
They never do.
You know, because I think maybe she should then pass along her schooling because they have no clue. They probably have no clue. It's just like a lack of education, which I think is a lot of things. Like people have no idea actually how to do it. And it's gotten them by in other cases. So they're like, maybe this girl is just high maintenance. Like, but okay, bye.
And it's okay to be high maintenance conversationally.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Conversationally.
So Lauren, I have a question just about the dating apps. I don't logistically are there, cause you know, I love the voice memos, which I feel like Lauren sometimes just like, whatever. Do you have the voice memo option on a dating app? I've never used one before.
So,
don't think so.
From when I was on dating apps before a while ago, no. They just implemented the phone and video ones and things of that nature, I heard.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does it though. I've never, honestly, okay, I'm not gonna lie. The idea of having a first date on FaceTime, or not even, I wouldn't even say it a date, just like getting to know someone first on FaceTime sounds way more enticing to me than going out on a date because I don't have to get off my couch. I don't have to put on pants if I don't want to. Right. I can just look good from the, you know, waist up, chest up, and then call it a day. And, you know, it's cheaper. We can all drink our own drinks. Like, you don't have to invest money in me. I don't have to invest money in you or my time. Right. Like, you know, it's also sometimes I don't know when to end a date. I feel like sometimes I can go on a date almost every time I've gone on a date, actually, it's like 4 hours. And maybe because I'm great at conversation, I don't know. But but I mean, it's just kind of like, I don't really know when to end a date, I feel like. And it's just weird. I don't know. I'm really not a good dater. Which is why
I feel like, Lauren, maybe you don't know how to end a conversation in general. Darius, do you have, I agree.
Because so let's talk about that.
We do talk. I always am the one to end the conversation. Because like Lauren will keep going.
She'll just keep
and going. Going and going and going, just like her family. Like there's no intent, just going.
Well, because
and going
I like that. Because if it's easier for me to keep going as far as I want to keep going. Like if I have stuff to say, if I'm still interested, I'll keep going. That's why I think on a date, I'm just like, well, I don't really. If I'm not having fun, I'll like make up a place to like I have to go somewhere or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if, you know,
but like Darius, is there an art to ending the conversation? Because I bet you there's probably an easier way than making up a lie about having to go somewhere. You could probably skillfully wrap it up so then nobody is like, oh, that was weird.
Offended. Yes, I want to. There was a question that was asked first about connecting on a dating app. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But also, I believe that initially dates need to have time frames.
Mm-hmm.
Because conversations take effort.
Okay. So instead of being like, hey, let's meet at 7:30, be like, hey, can you meet from like 7:30 to 9:30?
Yes.
It's my dream. I am a time blocker.
Yeah.
God.
Lauren is hating that you're affirming all of my most annoying tendencies.
Listen, conversations take a lot of effort to ask questions, to respond properly, to listen. Like all these things, they take more effort than someone working an 8-hour shift doing something with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's energy. So a 2-hour conversation can take a lot of energy out of someone more than an eight hour shift of maybe mopping the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's really, you're giving contents of yourself and you're listening to, you're taking in energy, exchanging energy. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And so that's my thing. Set a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get to a place where you can do the freestyle. But set timelines. So you're strategic about the information you're getting from this person. Remember, dating is collecting data. So you got to be strategic in collecting data, which is why I wrote the book. You got about 4 questions You don't have to think about what questions am I going to ask. You can start with these questions. One question can turn into 10 questions. Mm-hmm. So essentially, you have 1,004 questions, 1,040 questions instead of 1,004.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because one great quality question can turn into a whole conversation of an hour or two.
Right. Right.
Which is true. We normally have like a lot of questions set up for every interview. Mm-hmm. And 99% of the time, we never get to like the second or third one. Because I think that if you are listening, the conversation can take on a different path where it's supposed to go. Like it can be artfully moved that way. And then you end up just like, you have more rapport, you have more connection, and like things are accomplished in a lot quicker of time than if you were to say, okay, well, next, my third question.
Right.
Can we make sure we get that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not actively listening.
Right. Yeah, which is why I like podcasts, honestly, because it feels most podcasts, at least the ones I listen to, feel less of interviews and they feel more like conversations that you're getting to listen to people's just natural conversations, which is like sometimes they go off the rails and they come back and maybe they don't. And I like listening to podcasts like that because I just find them more engaging. Whereas interviews, I feel like, you know, on like Entertainment Tonight or whatever, kind of tend to be more like, that's, I feel like they're a lot shorter. They're probably recorded a lot longer, but they cut it down to like, you know, 5-10 minutes. And it's like just answering questions. And one doesn't really have anything to do with the other. And it's just kind of like,
oh,
it's the worst.
You know, one person I've seen that's been really good at turning an interview into a conversation.
Oprah
is phenomenal. Well, she does that as an interviewer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One person I watched that has been great at being an interviewee and then making you feel like you're just having a conversation with him and nobody's around, like it or love it, is 50 Cent.
Really? Mm. That's random. I like that.
If you go and listen to him being interviewed by people, it never seems as if he's on the interviewing side of the table. It's as if he's drawing you in like you're just having a conversation.
Yeah. He's
like going to give you the heart of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. People always say the greatest things about 50 Cent. Just like,
I guess we just have to get on.
I feel like I always hear great things, just like everything he does and in general, which, you know, it probably has a lot to do with the fact that he does have good communication skills, because that makes you feel a certain type of way. So then anybody, because just in the entertainment industry that I've ever had a conversation with, they're like, yeah, I met 50 Cent and he was just like a really solid dude. And that usually has now that you're saying this, Darius, it makes sense that it's just a conversation. It's not necessarily like I'm answering your question because I have to answer it. It's because like maybe I'm interested in what we're talking about. And then that provides a different energy for the conversation, which then leaves people feeling a different type of way. So when they look back on it, they're like, that dude was solid. I liked him.
Right. What you just said, like think about what you just said is so like gold. He's solid. I like him. Just because he was a good conversationist and he actually listened.
Mm-hmm.
And he let you in like, well, let's talk about that for a second. I'm not striving to impress you with no answer. I'm going to take you from interviewer to me sitting at the table talking. And that's what the essence of it is. When you have these great podcasts, like we're doing, having a conversation. I'm not being interviewed. I feel like I'm just having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's authentic. And I feel like people can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we had said before, my fiance, he is in the radio industry. And so he is constantly telling me that the greatest interviews are always going to be from interviewers who are just good. If they're not good, then the interview is kind of crap. So that's again, like everything you're saying, everything you're talking about, the framework of understanding communication skills and how to wrap it up and how to flow from one segment into the next one in a way that makes sense and you're listening, it all, again, just like affirms that everything really is communication at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. True.
At the end of the day, the greatest human currency we have is not money, it's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's relationships.
Yeah.
Because the relationships you have determines the resources you'll garner, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And it's not really about tangible resources. It's about even intangible resources. Like the guy I met on the beach, Dan Overby, giving me the resources of his mind and then eventually opening me up to his world and learning so much from him. Mm-hmm. It was the internal resources, but it's about how can I have access to great relationships is through conversation skills.
Yeah. And just conversations in general can change the trajectory of somebody's understanding of a concept or an idea that maybe like was a little bit toxic or traumatic to them. Like they believed this one thing and then a good communicator said it in a way that debunked that wrong thinking. And then forever in their mind, it's different. And that changes the trajectory just based off of somebody saying in a way that made more sense. So then they believe something differently, which can also be used for the negative. If you're a really good communicator and you're spinning things in a way that are, you know, oppressive or dangerous, it can be used for that. But on the positive side, it can be life-changing in that manner where you just say something in a way that makes somebody understand differently.
Mm-hmm. That's why you want to ask great questions.
Right.
What you just said was like so spot on, because think about it. If you ask someone a basic question, it won't connect with that person in the way it's supposed to. But if you ask them the way you phrase a question, for example, a harder question you may want to ask somebody is, how do you handle conflict? Now, that's not a question you could just come out from the jump and just ask someone.
You got to think about it.
It's quite intrusive to ask someone that just like that, especially in the early dating stage. So in my book, I have a strategy called R2E. R2E means relation to exploration. So if you have a question that seems invasive or too probing early on, you still can ask it. But you have to relate to the question before you explore it with someone else. So if you want to ask someone, how do you handle conflict? Relate to it yourself first. So you may say, when I was younger, I used to handle conflict like this. Maybe you used to shut down. Maybe you used to walk off. Maybe you used to yell. Just be honest about that. Mm-hmm. You say, but now in my life, I handle conflict like this. I, you know, actually ask clarifying questions. I may practice the 5-second rule before I respond, whatever it is. And then you can give that honesty and you relate it to it. Now you can ask, how do you currently handle conflict in your life? Totally different at that stage.
So you preface it with disclosure so that it isn't necessarily so like, I want to know everything, but I'm not willing to give you everything.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Reciprocation.
Well, in your book, do you have it set up in like a, like kind of ask, because I know it's, 104 early dating questions. So do you kind of take it from like online dating to being a boyfriend, girlfriend situation now? Or like, how do you have it kind of set up in there, I guess? Yeah,
so you asked a really good question because I get this question all the time. It's really set up for that early dating stage all the way to that boyfriend and girlfriend stage as you're dating, right? That you would say that all the way up to 6 months to a year type questions, right?
Okay.
I've had about at least 45 to 50 married couples purchase the book.
Wow.
And they said to me, I haven't asked these questions to my person. And it's great to hear their responses. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll retrodate those questions. Like, okay, how would you have answered this question when we first started dating? And what's your perspective on this now? And so that's how some of them are spinning the questions too. So it's really fun to see how it's impacting lives and creating deeper conversations with people. It's phenomenal to me. Wow.
You would have killed it on Love is Blind, by the way, which just
like, no contest. Like, dude, you would have ran away with it. Like there, you would have, everyone would have wanted.
You would end up with like 10 engagements.
I would have been like that. What's that dude's name?
Barnett.
What's his name? Burnett. Yes. Burnett.
The one Burnett. I almost got engaged.
Yeah. I've been like Burnett. He had all the ladies. From the past, I believe, something like that.
I fell for it too. So, I mean, not fall for it.
Wait, Darius, did you know that Lauren was involved in that?
Yeah.
That's that Barnett thing as well.
Well, in the Barnett one specifically.
I watched the show. Maybe someone I used to date was like, it's the show Love and Blind. Because I told her I was supposed to be on Love and Blind.
Yeah.
It wasn't called Love is Blind. back then when they were casting for it, it was called, like, really early on, I think it was like Dating in Atlanta or something.
Or it was like Atlanta Singles Project. Yeah. I was like, this sounds interesting. I hope they change that.
So actually, a guy I know, Pastor Calvin, he works on the other shows. And so he always would put my hat in for different shows. Like, Darius, I'm telling you, you need to go on these shows.
Oh, is he the one on Married at First Sight?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, same producers.
You know, all right, I'll share a funny story with you.
Okay.
I met, when I first moved to Atlanta in 2015, November 24th, I had nothing. And I was interviewing for jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Calvin has several businesses. One of the businesses he had at that time was Trade Bank, but it was a bartering company where people could get currency and how they bartered their things. Long story short, he thought the position was too low for me. After interviewing me and some of his delegates, he was like, this is, you are higher than this position. He saw my potential from a distance, even though I had nothing. I just needed a job at that point. And he said,
with the soft skills.
There we go, right? And he really saw who I was, despite where I was. And he wanted to keep in touch and mentor me to a certain extent. And so we kept in touch. He gave me his personal phone number. And he's like, this position is not for you because you're way higher than this position. I won't insult you by doing this, but I do want to help you along the way. I feel like we can connect in some kind of way. So we stayed in touch. He introduced me to some other awesome movers and shakers in Atlanta. And then he introduced, then he told me about going on shows. We met at Cumberland Mall one day. We had lunch. And he said, you really should consider getting on some of these shows. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I didn't know. So I was supposed to be on one show. I turned it down. And then this Atlanta Singles Dating Project came along. I think this was like around August 2018, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that time, right?
We started filming in on October 1st. So yeah.
Right. So they started casting around August or something like that.
Yeah.
So I made it through to the last round, and which is with the executive producer, right?
Right.
And I turned it down. I just like, no, I'm not going to do it. I was trying to work on my personal coaching. Yeah. I didn't want to delude my brand or whatever by just being this love relationship dude.
Right, right.
So, and so they called me about 3 or 4 times afterwards. Like, are you sure? We would love to have you in the show. I'm like,
wow.
Especially at that time, you had to basically leave your job in a way. If you don't have the PTO, you have to leave your job.
Yeah.
And you have to just go all out and trust that you're going to be okay. And I think they paid you a little bit up front, and then they pay you more as you get on the show. And so I just turned it down. And yes, I was literally close from accepting it, but I turned it down and I let him know.
I will say though, in the pods, there was every day we had a different, so we had little notebooks that they gave us, and they took them up every day, you know, to read them obviously, but they told us so they could, they just held them there for us. We didn't lose them. And so that they could, you know, add questions. They would type out some questions and put them in the front of the book. So you have like new questions every day to kind of just like help with the conversations and stuff. So I feel like it was kind of funny because it was a lot of these questions. Like, I would never ask these on a first date. These are like insane questions to ask, like really super personal. I was like, I dated a guy for almost 4 years and I had never even talked about any of his stuff really with him.
Wow.
And like, or it wasn't until like years in. And I was talking about this stuff on like day 2 with these guys, you know? And so it was just kind of crazy how like just asking these different questions, and it was different for us. It was easier because we were all there. We were all doing it. So I think in a real life situation, it's like, I honestly haven't even really dated many people since the show, because I feel like it's so hard to like, I feel like I'm looking for a deeper, like quicker, I guess, almost connection. And it's not like I'll ask these kinds of questions still, or like get into these kinds of conversations, and then they're just not giving me what I'm needing there. And it just stays, or I don't ask and it just stays surface level for way too long. And then I get bored and I stop talking to them. So it's just kind of like, I feel like Love is Blind was such a cool thing because A, you're not seeing anybody. So that was that was super weird. You know, there's never a time in our world now where you get to know somebody without seeing what they look like. Like, at least, because if you have at least their, you don't even need their last name, really. If you have their first name, their occupation, where they went to school, you can look them up, you know, and like, it takes all 2 minutes. Hmm. So it was just weird to be in a situation where we didn't know what each other looked like. And you're having to ask these like really, or talk about these really personal, deeper things so quickly. And it was kind of weird on the first day, but then it really wasn't that weird after that. And I mean, that's why I think it was successful. I mean, the two couples that got married on the show are still married now. And so, I mean, there's a lot to be said about it, but it's also like, I don't know how to do that in the real world.
You just do like, it. I feel like what do you have to lose?
Well, she just brought up a thought for me. An idea for me, actually.
You need to get on there and be their questions guy. Create these things.
I need to, you know what? Maybe I just need to create my own experience.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you could have your own dating platform.
He's not trying to give away too much now.
He's like, the wheels are turning. He's like, okay, I got to go now. We're past the cutoff.
No, the wheels are turning, and I'm thinking to myself, I can create some kind of experience and record it. Make it really small, and the questions that they have will come from the book and help them to connect at a deeper level quickly.
Yeah,
this is an idea.
I like that idea. Sign me up.
I love it. But Lauren, just on another totally, this is not even about what we're talking about. I'm just on like, I'm trying to imagine if you're dating, like, what would you have to lose by asking those questions early on? Like, if they don't answer the way that you want to, don't you just figure things out quicker?
Yeah, no, for sure. But I feel like also too, a lot for me is like, I feel like a lot of the time too, especially on a first date or like getting to know somebody, I don't really even feel like I need to ask those questions right away. Because I'm trying to, at the very, very beginning, I'm trying to ask like, what's our banter, you know, like what's their, and it's almost like, it kind of almost is maybe doing this in an indirect way, but just like seeing like how, like, what's your sense of humor? Like, what's your, like, how are you treating
chemistry more than,
yeah. Like, how are you treating people around us? Like waiters or bartenders or, you know, people at another table, like, how are you interacting with other people? Like, I like to see that. So which why it's like, online dating is so hard for me because I feel like I create a person in my head and based off like what their social media looks like or, you know, their pictures look like. And then it's almost 9 times out of 10, it falls flat, you know, because I'm building this person up in my brain. And then you meet them in person and you're like, well, that's not who they are at all, which is not fair to them.
Which is definitely not fair to them at all.
Yeah. I think we all do it though. I think they're doing it to me as well. You know, it's not like, I don't know.
Let me ask you this question though. Okay, so you said you would rather do a FaceTime date or whatever it may be. What about doing those and asking those questions as Tiff was just talking about before going out?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can kind of see some foundational things outside of the social cues of how they treat people and things like that.
So I will say, I have asked a couple people, or I think maybe 2 or 3 people at this point over the last year about a FaceTime date, and every single one of them ghosted me after that. So I was
that's like, okay. That's like an immediate qualifier. Like, okay, clearly that's good. You just weeded them out. It just like saves you 6 months of bullshit. I don't know. I think.
Oh no, I agree. And I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm so bad at dating. Sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I'm actually really good at it. Cause I feel like it doesn't take me that long to figure out if I like someone or not.
That's not a bad thing. That's what I love about this book, because the book of questions I created helps you to vet or connect.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh,
vet or connect. Love to see it.
Okay, Darius, I have to take it back to like you were telling the story about Love is Blind. I just need, I need closure on that little segment. How do you feel now that you said no, knowing like how everything kind of played out, how the show was set up, like what is your resolve with that decision to not do it?
You know, I'm a person that I don't mind getting married in 6 months or whatever. I'm one of those people. So
or 8 weeks.
8 weeks. I believe that if you have the foundations and there's commitment, you could work anything out. You can really make it work.
Yeah.
Because it's about the values, mm-hmm. about the person, but it's more so about, is this person committed to their mental health? Is this person committed to adding skill to their relationship? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's certain things, if it's certain foundational things in place, we can make anything. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. I totally believe that.
Yeah. So I looked at the show when it was on Netflix, and I'm like, wow. So they told me about everything. The glass, you're going to be in a house, it's going to be glass divided. They told me about all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would have done it in hindsight, you know, if I wasn't closed-minded. I was more closed-minded back then. Mm-hmm. But I'm on this path now, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect path. Every path that you take is the perfect path.
Right. And you know, and here's the thing. I wouldn't have increased on my conversational and soft skills without working those two corporate training positions that I did mm-hmm. as well too. So everything played its part.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, and I mean, for me too, I think it was a great thing for me to go on. Everyone who went on the show, like even people you didn't see, like every single person came off that show and something changed, something major in their life. Like something clicked with them while we were trapped in there. And like, you can't get away from anything, you know, like you don't have any outlets. Like I kind of didn't realize how much I rely on like TV or my phone or going out or, you know, listening to music or just driving in my car and being by myself in general. Like I kind of just took all that for granted. Like I didn't realize those are my coping mechanisms. You know, like I push a lot of stuff down and I ignore a lot of stuff that I think that I'm like over it. And I'm not, because I haven't actually dealt with anything. I just like jumped over it and like distracted myself enough to where now I kind of just forget what that pain felt like. But then when you're in there, you're literally like trapped in this place, talking about your feelings, talking about boys, which I don't really like. I mean, Tiffany can attest to this. Like how many times have we really sat around and talked about boys and like talked about like relationships really until this podcast?
Oh, I definitely have to pull out you talking about your feelings and emotions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, besides like this podcast, like before this, like I never talked about boys or dating or anything like that. So it's like, it was just like really uncomfortable for me to do. And I didn't kind of realize that.
Wow. So that show pulled it out of you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But it pulled that out of everybody. Like literally, I feel like it emotionally and dating maturity wise, I think it aged me like catapulted me like 5 years into the future about where I'm at, like dating wise, which is why I haven't really dated much since then. I've gone on a like few first, second, maybe third dates, and then that's about it. And I kind of realize we're not on the same page, and then I just move on, which, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Maybe I should give it more of a chance, but, you know, why?
You can't settle, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, books like yours would be super helpful to everybody, honestly.
I want the book.
Yeah.
I have been approached by like producers. This will be my fifth time to do like some type of reality something. And this one's Big Brother. And I'm like, maybe I need to get this framework and maybe I need to go for it. Cause if I went Big Brother, it's $500,000. Like that would be, I'd be worth it. I could pay for an ebook.
I definitely think you should do it.
Indeed. When the course comes out, I can't wait for you guys to hear about that. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah.
All the framework and everything of conversation mm-hmm. is going to be in the course. The book just covers the relation to exploration rule and the 104 questions that you can ask to connect. So people right now, I released the book again to go within my course. I didn't think mm-hmm. it was going to explode as much as done. It's, what is going on? Hundreds of orders since April 18th.
It came out. When did the book come out?
April 18th with no promotion. I just dropped it.
Yeah. But I think this year and this past year, especially like people have forgotten how to, like, you see all these memes and stuff like, oh, I don't know how to speak to people anymore, blah, blah, blah. You know, like it really has gotten a lot. Like, I feel like, especially because the internet too, like we've all gotten a little weirder. We don't really know what to say to people anymore or how to talk or like, oh, I feel like I've always thought I've been good at speaking and talking to people and all that. And I feel like half the time I find myself when I meet new people now that I'm like, oh yes, it's sunny weather we're having. It's great. You know, like, and I've never really been like that before. So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to say to people anymore. And on dating apps, especially.
So you bring it back to that point. Cause like you said, you said what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah.
2020 has helped a lot of people heal if they mm-hmm. in that time, but it's also stripped away a lot of their conversation and connecting skills. And
right. So
even though we're striving to do these dating apps, how do I connect? And so you asked the question earlier, how do I connect with someone on a dating app? Mm-hmm. So a part of my framework, I have my conversation framework or communication framework is called REAP.
Okay.
It's the acronym, REAP. And the first letters R, which stands for rapport. There's okay. three main ways you can build rapport, but two are most effective in the dating world. So I'll mention those two, which is mm-hmm. commonalities and compliments.
Okay.
So if there's something on this person's dating profile you can compliment or that you have explicitly in common, you can comment on that, whether you compliment something or talk about the commonality. But then here's the problem. People stop right there. Hey, how you doing? I love the fact that you love dogs. Or in your case, I love, like Lauren, in your case, I love the fact that you love cats. You see a cat on their page. But then it stops right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, okay, thanks.
Right. Thanks. But we have to ask an open-ended question on the back of what we compliment or what we find in common. So if you said that, hey, I love your cat on your page.
Mm-hmm.
Crickets. Now let's ask an open-ended question. Hey, Sir John, it's good to connect with you. I love the cat on your page. When did you start, when did you get your cat, or what made you want to get your cat? Like, whatever, so you want to connect something from them to the cat so you can start getting to know them more.
Right. You did that to me right before this podcast started recording, before Tiffany got here.
Tell me about it.
You were doing it already. Wow.
What I did?
You're asking about my cat. I made a comment about my cat, and you're like, how long have you had cats? And I was like, I've had him about six. I like went off in the whole thing.
I did. I did do that. It's about connecting from the what to the who.
Yeah.
That's what rapport is all about. How can you go from what to who?
And then people will just like spoon feed you their cornerstone story before you even know it. Like, and mm-hmm. then I feel like if you give up that type of story, you then feel more connected to that person. So mm-hmm. like you, Lauren, probably felt more connected to Darius because you shared that information and then like the rapport is there already. Mm-hmm. So like I came in and like just, you know, I was behind the times. I had nothing.
Yeah.
I felt it. And I was like, I got to build it up somehow. I gotta,
wow. They're like, they go way back. I'm like, yeah.
They go way
I got to get in here.
I'm like, you don't like dogs?
That is not what I said. Please, nobody DM me and yell at me about not liking dogs.
And then, I was like, what did I say? I said, he said, well, cats, you can just kind of leave them alone and do their own thing.
Yeah. There's lots of pros and cons to dogs and cats. You know, I just find for myself, there's more pros to cats for me. I like dogs.
I'm just like obsessed with all animals. Just like,
yeah.
Just want to squeeze.
I'm just not responsible enough for a dog is what we kind of based that off of. Okay.
That was the synopsis. Got it. It's about really taking it from the what to the who.
Always,
you don't know who they are. So let's talk about what they are first and then go to the who.
No, yeah. I love that. Well, I want to know, I mean, Tiffany, if you don't have any other questions, do you?
I can always come up with some questions.
I do kind of want to
have
one
question. I would like to know, Darius, when, you know, I love myself a framework. I love a course. I love all the things educational. I love some IP. Like when can we expect the REAP course to come out?
Oh, well, this is my question too.
That's really good. So I will keep it at REAP course, the name of it, but that's not the name of it, but it's the REAP. It's the REAP framework. So yeah, thank you for not letting me allow the course name to come out just now. The course is slated to come out June 21st.
Okay.
This is exciting.
Yeah, it's...
Building a course is a lot of work, so good for you. Like,
it's a lot of work, but it's necessary. It's necessary. Yeah. It's necessary.
You just have to think about all the people it's going to... I'm sure you already know, like, how to get yourself more motivated to get it done quickly. I'm not going to...
I'll take it.
Okay, if you're going to take it, I'm always willing to give advice. I just already know, just based off what you're telling me, that this information will help a lot of people. So, like, the quicker you can get it out, the obviously the more people you're going to impact at a greater rate. And I think people need something like this. They need, I think, some things to attach to, a framework. Cause I think a lot of times we are kind of clueless in navigating. And I know me personally, I love a good course that I feel like I can attach myself to learning the arch of whatever subject I'm on.
For sure. I love that you said attaching yourself to a framework. Cause people love to say, it's almost like people love attaching themselves to 5 love languages, right? Mm-hmm. It's a framework. It's an ideology. It's a whole school of thought that people could say, what's your 5 love languages? Like, what's your love language? Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, I feel like, yeah. I don't like the love language question because I feel like it changes all the time. It changes all the time to me. I feel like every couple of years, if I take it, it's a whole different thing.
It is. So. Because your five love languages change based upon your self-growth.
Right. And also, I feel like it depends on the person I'm with, too. I don't know.
Mine doesn't change with the person because I need affection. I need physical touch across the board.
Mm-hmm. Same.
But how I give 5 love languages is different based upon who the person is. But how I receive.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that just means you're probably more aware of like what other people need. So like you're giving love language, like you're just obviously you're like active listening to what they need to receive as love. So that just probably says you're doing everything that you need to be doing for the people that are important in your life.
Right. And I like that you said that, right? Because the active listening piece, there's a question in my book that says, what are some ways your friends and family show up? What's the question? What are some ways your friends show up for you that make you feel supported?
Wow.
And you can get to see, first of all, their love languages. Do they have friends? How do they even support their friends? You get to know so much about them from that type of question. Instead of asking, what's your 5 love languages? Which is kind of synonymous to what's your favorite color at this point.
Yeah, fair. That's fair. Yeah. Well, I am definitely going to have to buy this book now because clearly I need a lot of help with these questions on dates specifically. So tell us all, like, where can we find you? What do you got going on? Anything you want to promote?
Plug yourself,
please.
So plug myself. So here it is. You can find me at I'm Darius Brown on Instagram. Not I'm Darius Brown. On Instagram and on Clubhouse, which are the main 2 platforms I'm on predominantly. And if you want to have my book, you can go to dms2digits.com. Type in.
Oh, crafty.
Yeah, dms2digits.com. It's DMs with the S. And you'll be able to access this book and take it from there.
Love it.
I'm excited. And June 21st, that's when we're
June 1st?
Slated.
June
21st. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we're launching this course and I can't wait. So that's when the launch of the promotion of the course will come out, June 21st.
Okay. So how do we, if they follow you on Instagram, will they get all that information when it comes out?
Of course.
Okay. Of course. Go follow him on Instagram, guys.
Indeed. I'm Darius Brown.
Yeah. And I did see that you have some cool little reels. So like, obviously I always talk about anybody's social media game. I just love, somebody who shows up in a cool, fun way. You guys follow Darius. He shows up in a cool, fun way. You're not gonna be like, oh, this was a lame follow.
Yeah, it's not a lame follow. It's a quality follow.
It's a quality follow.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. I hope we had a good conversation with you.
Yeah, I feel like we need to have you back, and then we need like notes on. These are the 5 things that you got wrong. And then these are the 5 things that you got right. You know, I love a good analysis.
I can't do it because we've done it on, you got to think about it. We literally did it on this podcast.
Yeah.
Like literally read each other. And you were able to read Lauren and Lauren was able to read you and self-correct. It was like literally right here on the spot.
Doing it live. Okay, y'all heard it live.
I want like notes. I want.
She's like, okay, give me a list. Give me notes, please.
I need a list.
One thing I did notice about Tiffany as we went along in the podcast is she started letting go of her thoughts of what she thought was about to happen to actually just sitting in what was happening.
Oh, yeah. I'm very coachable. You said that and I was like, done.
She's good.
I noticed it. That's one of the most highly attractive traits I find for a woman is a growth mindset. You don't have to have it all together. We have to share values and things of that nature, but when she has a growth mindset,
we can hot. You can take over the world like Pinky and the Brain.
Ooh. Literally.
She's Pinky and the Brain.
And the
Brain. Okay, okay, genuinely curious. Did you guys ever watch Pinky and the Brain growing up?
Of course.
Duh.
Okay. Yes. Who do you guys think was the real genius? Because they, you know, in the song, they say like one is a genius and one is insane.
Yeah. I think that Pinky, I think that Pinky was the genius.
Right.
Yeah. Wasn't the think? Brain a little bit of a hothead?
Was.
He was a little more like stubborn. No growth mindset.
No growth, but he thought that everything he did was definitive, and then Pinky would still make things work out somehow, some way, with a creative accident or whatever it may be.
It was like always by accident, but it's like, was it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Brain was like, this has to work. This formula, we have to. Yeah.
That's me and Tiffany. Pinky and the Brain.
Well, who's Pinky and who's the Brain?
Oh, I'm for sure Pinky. Definitely the Brain.
That's not even fair.
In the beginning,
the Brain is so stuck in his in the ways. Beginning. He's like, I'm going to take over the world. And then he's like,
in the beginning,
you know, he never does.
Of this podcast, I think we for sure we're hardcore, your Brain, I'm Pinky. But I think now we both become both.
Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah. Okay, so this might be a question that goes in the 104 questions. Like, do you think
you're Pinky or the Brain?
And who do you think is the genius and who do you think is insane? Because I think I would be like, if somebody said the Brain, I'll be like, okay, I know who you are.
You're narcissistic. I'm done.
And if they're like,
narcissistic.
Right. And if they're like, I don't know what you're talking about, you'll be like, okay, then I have to leave. If you don't know what the Brain is, this isn't going to work.
Wow. Brain was narcissistic. That's hilarious. I've never thought of that before.
I was talking to my assistant about some things. And I'm like, wait, admittedly, I was like, okay, I'm the Brain. I'm like a mad scientist, like doing all these things, creating all these ideas. And so I jokingly said that my assistant was Pinky because she just like does a really good job. And so if anybody were actually the Pinky in this relationship, Lauren, I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you.
Because I am a mad scientist, like trying to do all the things. I'm just trying to save the world. I'm not trying to take over the world. I'm trying to save the world. I'm trying to raise the collective vibration.
She's trying to start a cult is what she's actually trying to do.
Or maybe that.
She doesn't want to say it like that, but I'll say it.
So I'm like into this little thing. It's called Scientology. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it, but
if you're
kidding.
I think you're serious.
No, I shouldn't even make fun of that. That's very judgy of me. I take it all back.
She lives a little too close to a Scientology place. I don't know what they call
it. In LA, the one in LA, because it's different ones.
No, in Atlanta. And so I always get a little nervous that one day she's going to walk by.
I pass it by my walk every single day. And like I do, if there's something I really believe in, like I will buy in fully because I believe in like just learning and immersing yourself. So I walk by and I'm like, Maybe one day I should just go check it out. But I'm like, I'm never walking out. At least I know.
Yeah. But on that note.
Okay, yes. Insert Pinky and the Brain theme song right here.
Yes, yes. We are going to have to let you go now. But thank you for staying with us way longer than we were intending to. But with that,
thank you.
Let's go.
Permission
to exit.
Yeah. Never again. Yeah. We came a long way, that's what the song say. And I could do all things, I could do all things. Yeah, I could do all things, yeah, yeah. We came a long way, that's what the song say. And I could do all things, I could do all things. I can do all things, yeah, yeah. I'm not afraid of the moment, I'm not afraid, I can't hold it. I gotta show up, gotta get up in the morning. I gotta do it for Kobe, lately I'm zoning. Lately I know where I'm going, taking whatever control is. Show me opponents, I got a gift and I'm starting to own it. Yeah, yeah, we came a long way, and that's what the song say. And I can do all things, I can do all things. Yeah, I can do all things, yeah, yeah. We came a long way, and that's what the song say. And I can do all things, and I can do all things. And I can do all things, yeah, yeah. We came a long way, and that's what the song say. And I can do all things, I can do all things. I can do all things, yeah, yeah. We came a long way, and that's what the song say. And I can do all things, I can do all things. I can do all things, yeah, yeah. Shout to
to the city that raised me. Shouts to the people that made me. I'm from the 80s. I don't think mumbling wavy. I grew up black on a Jay-Z. Maybe I'm crazy. I ain't been wondering lately. Feel like it's here for the taking. Feel like I'm good with the changes. Know who I am. And that's the most dangerous statement. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Man, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. I check the scoreboard. Know what I'm good for. When I check the scoreboard, man, I'm thinking 2-4. Man, that's what I'm good for. Yeah, yeah. When I check the scoreboard, I know what I'm good for. When I check the scoreboard, man, I think I'm 2-4. And I know what I'm good for. Yeah, yeah. Cause we came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. We came a long way. And that's what the songs say. And I can do all things. I can do all things. Man, I can do all things. Yeah, yeah.